It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are going to focus on an event coming up in the community to assist those that need a little help for any number of reasons, or maybe just people who are becoming eligible for certain benefits for the first time. It's a Community Roots Resource Fair that's going to be August 16th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. Here to fill us in about it, along with to give us a kind of a snapshot of the current situation in the community, we're joined by Sonora Area Foundation CEO Daryl Slocum and Tuolumne County Health and Human Services Agency Director Rebecca Espino. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, BJ.
Hi, BJ.
I'll start first with Rebecca Espino. Tell us a little bit about first, you know, what's your office all overseas?
Thank you for the question, BJ. Our office is the Health and Human Services Agency, and our department, our agency, consists of the Social Services Department, pretty much focusing on public assistance programs, protective services, basically providing services to all demographics of our community, from birth to past death. I mean, we also offer death benefits for those that are indigent. That's our social services department. We have our public health department, who was in the spotlight for 3 years during the COVID pandemic, but they do far more than COVID. So that's public health. Behavioral health also became a spotlight after as the COVID pandemic was subsiding, because we noticed, or not we, but the entire world noticed that there was some behavioral health challenges that transpired after the pandemic and all the isolations that occurred. And then lastly, our veterans department, who joined us in October of last year. So those are our four agencies in the services that we provide.
You mentioned it was a challenging period for many in the community during the COVID pandemic. There's also been inflation, high gas prices. What are you kind of noticing when it comes to the need for assistance locally?
What was interesting, BJ, is I looked at and did some statistics on just focusing on our CalFresh benefits, which CalFresh is a food assistance program that is sponsored by the federal government, and then each state does their version. So for the federal government, it's called SNAP. And then for California, it's called CalFresh. And what we noticed is the month before the pandemic hit, we had about 4,500 individuals in Tuolumne County receiving CalFresh benefits. Fast forward 3 years, January of 2023, we now have 6,300 individuals receiving CalFresh benefits. So a significant increase in the number of individuals needing some support with food, which, you know, is about 11% of our county is receiving some form of food assistance.
You know, what are you hearing, some kind of reasons why that number has been going up?
What we're hearing is just the high cost of food before the pandemic, and actually just actually during the pandemic, the prices of food have been skyrocketing. And CalFresh is not the only program that is there to support our community. We have our food pantries. We have the Attica Food Bank. There's other community organizations that support food, and we just want to make sure the community is aware that it's just not one location. It's just not government. We do have many community-based organizations that are here to support our community.
You know, when you get into like a CalFresh program, is it like a certain time of the week, or is it monthly? How do you get food?
So CalFresh benefits is you receive it between the 1st and the 10th of the month, and folks can receive, an individual with no income can receive about $200 a month, and $200 will not feed an individual for a full month, but at least it's a supplement. It's a supplemental benefit. It's on an EBT card, so it's not the old version of where you're shelling out stamps in front of folks. So it helps bring some dignity to people that are needing services. It looks like a regular debit card, so nobody even knows that you're receiving CalFresh benefits. You put the debit card in and you put in your PIN.
Go over to Daryl Slocum, CEO of the Sonora Area Foundation. I'm kind of curious your reaction to kind of some of the things that Rebecca's been talking about here.
Thank you, BJ. Well, we're seeing some of the same types of evidence that Rebecca mentioned with organizations and agencies that we support at the foundation. I would add to what Rebecca said, that we our county's populated by a significant number of people that, a couple of different categories. We have our senior population, which is growing. They're often on a fixed income, whether it be a pension or some are limited to a Social Security check every month. The point being that their income doesn't grow unless there's some type of a cost of living increase. So if they're already, managing their budget closely, even with a little bit of reserve, it's easy to see how that could be eaten up with the inflation that we've seen, increased costs. If they're fortunate enough to be a homeowner, the increase in the cost of their homeowner's insurance could cut into what was a reserve and put them into a scenario where they're seeking help, but that they've never had to do that before. The other category is our low-income workers. A lot of people inaccurately believe that the only people who seek benefits are unemployed or those that are unhoused. The reality is that we have a fairly significant population here of individuals and families that work, but their wages are relatively low. And as such, in order to make their budgets work, they have to rely on things like supplemental food by visiting the food bank or frequenting one of our organizations that provides some type of a free meal occasionally. And then sometimes they need other forms of assistance. If they have an unexpected expense and they need help paying a utility bill or a medical bill or a car repair, etc., there are organizations and agencies that provide those types of services. We support them at the foundation, and therefore we kind of get a feel for what's going on in the county based on the number of requests and the size of the requests we're getting from those organizations.
Rebecca Espino, anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, actually another good example that Daryl was mentioning is our Medi-Cal program. We have our working poor individuals that are working, maybe 35 to 40 hours a week, and their agency does not offer health care. I want to give you another statistics. Pre-pandemic, we had about 10,000 individuals, a little over 10,000 individuals receiving Medi-Cal benefits. And, fast forward 3 years, January of 2023, we now have 14,000. So now about a quarter of our community is receiving Medi-Cal benefits, which is significant. We need to make sure there's health care for our community because, as things come up, they need to be able to go and get some medical care.
How about as people get older and want to transition to Medicare?
That's great. Actually, Daryl and I were talking about this earlier. It's a complicated system. When folks go, get to 65, not only maneuvering the Medicare the retirement benefits and the Medicare benefits, just understanding that maybe you're not on many medications right now. Maybe you're on no medications right now. You turn 65, but there is this Part D prescription coverage, and understanding that if you don't participate in that coverage, even if you don't need the coverage right now, if you wait, there's a penalty associated with that. And, learning firsthand with working with my father, didn't need a medication until he turned 78 years old and now needs one that's about $500 a month. Did not, participate in the Part D, and now he has a penalty that's going to pay for the rest of his years, $50 extra a month added to his prescription coverage. So very, very important. These are all the information that we're trying to get out to our community.
Well, it's all kind of this first segment building up to, as we have been mentioning, a Community Roots Resource Fair. It's going to be coming up August 16th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. During this first segment, talking a little bit about the current situation and kind of what is leading to this event, but we're going to get into that event here in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined on the program this weekend by Rebecca Espino, Tuolumne County Health and Human Services Agency Director, and Daryl Slocum, the CEO of the Sonora Area Foundation. We'll continue with more of our conversation on Motherlode Views in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're joined on the program this weekend by the Sonora Area Foundation CEO Daryl Slocum and the Tuolumne County Health and Human Services Agency Director Rebecca Espino. We mentioned during the first segment we were kind of previewing an upcoming event. It's coming up August 16th at the Motherlode Fairgrounds. It is the Community Roots Resource Fair. So I'll go over to Daryl Slocum. This is the second year that this has been taking place now, right?
It is. And the way it was born is that Rebecca brought the idea to Nate Levering from Sierra Bible Church and I, and she laid out this scenario, which actually became very obvious after she said it. But at the time, it was eye-opening. And what she talked about is just the impact of the pandemic and the increased cost of living, et cetera. And the reality, which is there are people out there who don't know how to find help. And she presented that to Nate and I, and we kind of brainstormed it for a while and talked about a couple of different ideas and finally came up with this concept of hosting an event where we invite local agencies and organizations in to staff a booth, a table, and hand out information about what their organization does, and then invite the community to come down. And we put on the first version last year. Very well received, number one, by the organizations, because again, they're all here to help. The people that work for our social service agencies, our nonprofit organizations, have a caring heart. They love the community. They love what they do, and they want to help. So they just want to connect with people that are in the category of being a potential client. So they said, absolutely, we want to be there. We were, I won't say overwhelmed, but we were certainly pleasantly surprised with the response from the community in our organizations and agencies. Then we started doing the marketing and outreach, and Rebecca's going to talk a little bit about who's helping us out with that. It's a strong team. And then the community came. And BJ, it was really touching and rewarding to see how, number one, how appreciative people in the community were that this fair was created and made available for them. It's a little bit of the one-stop shopping thing where they could come to one place because some of the individuals seeking services are transportation impaired. So it's not easy, as simple, it's not as simple for them as just jumping in the car and running out to Interfaith, for instance. So it was very beneficial, especially because, again, going back to the hearts of the people who staff our agencies, they help beyond, you know, there's none of this, oh, here's what we offer, sorry if that doesn't help you. It's, okay, tell me more about what you need, and then they're knowledgeable about what services our other organizations provide. So they'll say, go across the hall over there and talk to XYZ organization. I think they have a program that will help you. And so people who attended the fair were walking away with help, and that was exactly what we were trying to achieve.
Now go over to Rebecca Espino. It's nice to see that event really filled a need, and now coming back in the community, it kind of shows the community really cares about one another too, it sounds like.
Absolutely, and it was interesting when Daryl and I and Nate were talking about this, you know, as I walked away, and I'm thinking, what if I have it wrong? You know, what if we don't have a pulse on the community? And, you know, after over 250 community members attended the resource fair, we said, okay, I think we were on the right track. And as Daryl said, we had a lot of great feedback from the participants, exceptional feedback from our partners who were there. They too learned about other, you know, organizations that either complemented the programs that they had or didn't even know that there was another resource that was out there they could offer referrals. We have a great team. I mean, when you plan these type of events, it requires a village, and we had an amazing village. In addition to always the support of the Sonora Area Foundation with leadership of Daryl Slocum, Nate Levering, without a doubt, has been there always to support, what we did and what we're doing this year. Kathy Peacock from Interfaith, another of the planning members, Joe Tobin from Attica, Sophia Kaufman did our marketing, did an amazing job. This year, Laura Sunday from Blue Zones has joined our group, and I will call her Lisa G, and Lisa's just she does everything. She has such enthusiasm, so she is part of our team. And also want to thank the leadership from these individual organizations, because they provided their staff and allowed a lot of time for their staff to participate in this planning event, and really, really appreciate the leadership from all these organizations.
And Daryl Slocum?
And I would just add what Rebecca said. Obviously, you can hear in our voices, we're proud of the success of the event last year. The organizations that we mentioned, if indeed you're instincts were off and we were on the wrong path, we would have heard from them. Because if it wasn't worthwhile for them to sit there for 3.5 hours to staff this event, they would have told us about it. And BJ, it was exactly the opposite. They were enthusiastic. They were thrilled to be there. They said it was hugely beneficial.
And Rebecca Spino has mentioned it's coming up again August 16th, 3 to 6 p.m. at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. If people come on that day, what are they going to see inside the fairgrounds?
So what we've done, we're going to basically not change much what we did last year because it was so successful. We'll have an area that's dedicated to food support, an area for health care, employment, senior and disabled services. We'll have an area focusing on family and children services, housing and utility. So what we did this year, and the feedback that we heard from the community, is that they really wanted to see a little bit more on the housing piece. So we added some resources for our unhoused. So we expanded that area. We're going to have support on pet services. We scaled down our safety resources because we had law enforcement there and we had fire protection there. And we were really just scaling that down to fire protection. Like our Office of Emergency Services is trying to connect folks to get into the Everbridge program. And then our FireWise community, again, we talked about the substantial increase in our fire insurance to see, what can we do to maybe bring that down. We also increased transportation. That was another area that the community felt that we needed to offer, more information about transportation. So last year, I think Tuolumne County Transit was our only transportation partner that was there. This year we've added a few more because there is other transportation options, and I don't think the community knows about them, so we're hoping that they're going to participate. So really we didn't change much, but we added maybe enhanced two of our areas of focus.
As Health and Human Services Agency Director, are there any kind of common benefits out there that you may know about that a lot of people don't know about that's good to let the community know?
Let me think. Our in-home supportive services is a benefit that I don't think many folks know about. And that's the opportunity for you to remain safely in your home, wrapping you with services so you don't have to move into a skilled nursing facility or a nursing facility, because that's the best thing for somebody to remain vital and thriving in their in the community is to stay in the community and to stay in their home where they've lived probably decades. So that's a program that I don't think many people know about, and I think it touches many of us.
Need to take one more break. We're talking about the upcoming Community Roots Resource Fair, August 16th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. Joining us on the program this weekend, Tuolumne County Health and Human Services Agency Director Rebecca Espino and Sonora Area Foundation CEO Daryl Slocum, also giving us a snapshot of the local community and some of the challenges that many are facing here locally. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
On this weekend's Motherlode Views, we are talking about services and benefits available in Tuolumne County. It's kind of the focus of an upcoming event, the Community Roots Resource Fair. It's August 16th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. Talking with Sonora Area Foundation CEO Daryl Slocum, Tuolumne County Health and Human Services Agency Director Rebecca Espino. I'll go back over to Daryl Slocum. You know, sometimes events like this can be kind of hard conversations to have when you need extra help, but the vibe of the event is pretty upbeat, though, correct?
Absolutely. We've gone out of our way to try to create a comfortable environment. I think everybody had a great time last year. We had volunteers from Sierra Bible there making tri-tip sandwiches. This year we've added Kona Ice because some people brought their kids out. And it's a way to go and collect the information in a comfortable, friendly environment. The mood was upbeat, friendly. I think anyone who's interested in finding out what might be available out there should absolutely make plans to attend the event.
And food back this year, that's what you say?
Food back,
yeah, tri-tip maybe?
Yeah, we're going to have tri-tip sandwiches available for attendees.
Very nice. And Rebecca Espino, is there also a resource number that people can call if they can't make it to the event?
Absolutely, and not only pre-event, but also post-event. This number we operationalized last year. It's 533-5719, and it's a phone number that members of our community can call and just share their need. And Denise Powell's on the other line, sweet employee, and provides lots of information about resources in our community. She has been becoming learned on all the resources that we have here. And then I just want to also let the community know that the Public Health Department is working really hard to operationalize our 211 in Tuolumne County. We are hoping that line will go live by the end of this year. So the 533-5719 number will then be converted to 211. It'll be available 24/7. We're really looking forward to that, and also there'll be an online presence for that.
And BJ, I would add, you can call that line anonymously, You can attend the resource fair. There's no sign-in requirement. We realize that this could be difficult for people, especially those that are seeking services for the first time. So you can be as anonymous as you choose to be.
And then that 211 line, I'm not familiar. What is a 211 line?
It's an information line. Okay. So it provides information on all resources in the community, from, like I said, food resources to how do I evacuate. It's going to be really a robust information line.
I'll go back over to Daryl Slocum. I know you work with a lot of the nonprofits in the community, kind of have a pulse on things are going. You know, what is kind of your observations about, you know, nonprofits and funding and how things are looking right now?
Well, interestingly, we talked a little bit about the pandemic and the impact that had on everyone. And one of the impacts and the aftermath, there was a lot of money. You know, there was government money, stimulus money that went to individuals, organizations. The county government benefited from that. And it was so vast that I don't know that anyone can accurately explain the impact that had or that continues to have. With the county, for instance, the Board of Supervisors allocated $500,000 for nonprofit organizations, and that was granted out. So that was money that was placed in the community that came from outside the community. So it's hard to tell exactly what the impact of those monies have had, but I think we are nearing the end of that. I mean, again, it's hard to know exactly, but I think it's safe to say that those monies have run out or are close to running out, and therefore we likely will be seeing additional requests from our nonprofit organizations. And in fact, we are starting to see some of that at the foundation.
I imagine it's a busy time at the foundation.
It's getting there, yeah.
Rebecca Spino, anything else about the upcoming event, the Community Roots Fair, that we didn't mention that'd be worth bringing up?
Oh, I just want to just make sure the community knows that they're not alone. They're not alone. We have numerous community partners that are here to support this awesome community. We were talking earlier about, you know, the struggles that we have sometimes in our community. But what's unique about Tuolumne County is we have a community that really cares about each other. We take care of each other. And this is just another example of us as community-based organizations and nonprofits, obviously, and our faith-based communities coming together and once again supporting our community. And I also wanted to, you know, kind of piggyback on something that Daryl said. You know, last year, there were folks that attended our event that were ready to have a conversation, and some of those conversations needed to be private. So we did get some feedback from our community saying, you know, if there was a place that was just maybe to the side and maybe a little bit more private, that would have benefited, that would have helped me, you know, be able to share some information that I needed to share. So we're doing that this year. There's going to be some private areas for some of our organizations to be able to have those private conversations.
Yeah, that's great. And Daryl Slocum, I imagine with, you know, with high gas prices, we're talking about inflation. I imagine there's a lot of people, too, who could just be pushing that threshold for the first time of having to have that conversation to see what benefits are out there.
Yeah, that's the delicacy of fixed income. I mean, regardless of what level that's at, I mean, it could even be a substantial pension. But depending on what your particular financial situation is, you could find yourself at the brink. And there are services available. I'd also point out, we haven't discussed it much today, but there are non-income-based services available. We talked a little bit about Medicare, Area 12 Agency on Aging. Anyone can call them and set up an appointment or ask questions over the phone about navigating the Medicare maze. Interfaith has a legal services program. Again, no income requirements on making an appointment and getting legal assistance from attorneys that volunteer their time at Interfaith. So there are programs available that anyone can access. So it's not just a matter of our lower income community.
Yeah, I didn't know about the legal services until you mentioned it today. There's probably a lot of things out there that people just don't realize that are good to know about, that they could stop by and learn all about it at this upcoming event.
I think we all learn something every time we have a conversation about this topic.
So we got just a couple minutes left. We'll go through one more time. Again, it's coming up August 16th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Motherlode Fairgrounds in Sonora. And I wanted to go back to Rebecca Spino, that phone number if people wanted to call. I mean, it's great to go to this event. You know, regardless, there's also a number that they can call to learn more about services. What's that number again?
The number is 209-533-5719.
Any closing comments that either of you would like to make?
Well, I would encourage people that if you have questions about the resource fair, you can also call Denise on the hotline and say, tell me more about the kind of people that are going to be there. That's one of the services that are available.
Yep.
You can stop by any time during that 3 to 6 p.m. window?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
And Rebecca Spino, anything else you'd like to add?
We would love to see the community there, but if not, we have that phone number, 533-5719. We're here to support.
Again, we thank our guests for joining us on this weekend show. We've been talking with Daryl Slocum, the CEO of the Sonora Area Foundation. We also have been talking with Rebecca Espino, Tuolumne County Health and Human Services Agency Director. It's an important event in the community now in its second year, August 16th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Motherlode Fairgrounds, the Community Roots Resource Fair. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we are going to be focusing on the Motherlode Regional Juvenile Detention Facility, which opened back in April of 2017. We're going to hear an update on how the facility is being utilized, the funding available, and ways it is impacting local youth. Also, a look at trends at the facility and where the youth are coming from. The guests will be Tuolumne County's Chief Probation Officer, Dan Hawks, and Assistant Probation Officer, Annie Hockett. There have been some recent changes at the state level as well, which are impacting youth probation. We'll learn more about that next week on Motherlode Views. And if you missed today's show or any past recordings, you can find them on mymotherlode.com in the media section. A full listing of archived shows that can be played back at any time on the go. Just go to mymotherlode.com. Again, click on the media section and then Motherlode Views. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.